There's one program called GRIDS, and GRIDS is an acronym for grid-level, essentially storage of electrical power.
Wow, cool.
And, you know, if you want to firm up, if you want to utilize the renewable energy resources like wind, today we utilize only about 30% of that because we don't have storage. And the wind comes in bursts. It takes about 1 hour to go from 0 to 1 gigawatt, for example, sometimes. And if you could just store that, that could be really useful. There's an economic benefit to that. So one program was looking at various ways of storing electrical power at grid level, grid scale, but doing it very cost effectively. And we set out a target. Said, can you store potentially a gigawatt of power for 1 hour at $100 per kilowatt hour? So that was a specific cost metric, which was sort of a target for people to shoot for. And we, you know, that drove a lot of innovations, and we are seeing some great ideas that have come through.
And I was going to ask for a comparison, but of course, right now, people can't really store that power, at least locally. It gets transferred to the grid in some way, right?
Well, yeah, it gets transferred to the grid, but even if it gets transferred to the grid, it does not get used up. You know, as I said, only 30% of the wind, the installed capacity for wind is actually being used. The other 70% is just lying fallow. Because it does not, when the wind comes, it does not quite match the demand for electricity.
Hmm.
So we cannot time shift it.
Yeah.
And so that's a big issue. And if you could introduce grid-level storage across the country, that could be quite substantial. I would say the only grid-level storage that is used today is pumping water up a dam. It's called pumped hydro. And that, of course, is region, you know, it's specific because you don't have dams all over the country.
Right.
You have a little bit of compressed air in caverns, et cetera, but that's also, you know, geography-specific.
We wanted
a scalable technology that is at the cost of pumped hydro, but you could deploy it anywhere.
As part of this GRIDS project, there's an initiative to build what they call a soluble acid lead flow battery. Easy for me to say. This is essentially raising the bar on battery technology.
That's right. It's actually a lead flow battery.
Yeah.
It's based on lead ions.
Wow.
It's like a lead-acid battery that you have in your car, but at a much lower cost and scalable to large scales. So that's a really interesting innovation. There are other flow batteries out there that have been proposed, and, you know, frankly, we don't know which one's going to succeed.
Well, and that's part of what and last time you were actually here in studio, we talked a little bit about part of your guys' challenge is you have to make investments and look at things, and there's a little bit of a crapshoot here. Not everything is going to work.
Yeah, I mean, that's why RPA was created, because, frankly, we were not taking enough risks. And unless we try out new ideas that seem, you know, at least good, but on paper, but, you know, someone has to try out to see whether it's actually working or not. And that's our goal, is to see, to invest in things that the private sector finds too risky to invest in.
So this is $92 million for 43 programs, and overall you've done, this is the second tranche of programs that you've given money out for, right?
Well, I should say that the $92 million is not all for grid-level storage. There are actually three programs.
Right.
One is grid-level storage, the other is cooling, so air conditioning, refrigeration, which is about 40 to 50% of the electrical consumption in buildings, and which is, you know, heating and cooling, and the other one is power electronics, which is an enabling technology for connecting with the grid. It is all about, you know, how to make the grid much smarter, all the way down to the power supplies that you use for the computer. I mean, those are pretty dumb devices today. Compared to the computer.
Yeah.
So how to get everything smarter and cheaper. And that's the power electronics program.
And more efficient, just boosting the efficiency so they use power at a much more, they're a lot more intelligent about it almost.
Yeah. I mean, just to give you an example, you know, the LEDs LED lighting. It's supposed to be much more efficient than incandescent lamps. But you know what the efficiency is for the power converter? So you make the LED really efficient, but the power conversion from AC to DC is about 70% efficient.
Really?
So you lose 30% of the power right there.
Wow. Wow.
So it's sort of the back-end boxes, which have always been sort of the non-sexy element of energy. It's not the LED, right, which is the sexy part. That is where the opportunity lies.
Huh.
So we decided to invest.
So how do you go about, out of these, how many projects, 43 projects that you did, that you awarded money to, how many submissions did you get? And how do you, walk us through the process that you use
Sure.
to select the 43?
Before we hold a workshop, we recruit a program director who are some of the smartest from the technical community, whether it's industry or academia, et cetera. And we say that, you know, go find the best opportunity out there, but it's not just you. You got to talk to the technical community. So then the program director organizes a whole workshop and brings the technical community together. And these are day and a half, sometimes 2 days workshop, where we ask the community, give us your input and tell us where the big barriers are that you're facing. And what are the goals that you would like to set for the future?
Hmm.
And these are what we call stretch goals, which are a little bit beyond today. But we also ask the question that if these goals are met, will it make the United States more globally competitive? Will it address the need? Will it create a new market opportunity? Will it create new business? And that's the input we get. So the targets that we get are not only for performance, like efficiency of a power conversion, but also for cost. Because there needs to be an economic benefit out of it. There needs to be businesses created and jobs created out of this. So we get those feedback, and then we internally sort of process it, and we come up with a funding opportunity announcement. And we say call for proposals. And then the process is we first ask for concept papers, which are 4 to 5 pages of an idea. And then we review them, both internally and externally. We get a panel of people to review it for us. And then we down-select to ask for full proposals. And these full proposals are large documents which lays out the full plans for what the research ought to be, what are the milestones, what are the metrics, what is the actual idea, how are they going to achieve it, who are their partners, what is the commercialization effort, etc. And then we bring in a panel of experts from the outside. These are scientists, engineers from industry, academia, national labs, all put together and say, okay, tell us, give us your feedback on these ideas that you're seeing. And there's a debate and discussion which goes on for 2 days on each of these proposals. Once we get the review from the review panel, we send the reviews back to the proposers and say that, okay, this is what the review panel say. Do you want to, respond to some of the criticisms? And so they respond to the criticism. Then we get the review panel and the response from the proposers. We put all that together, and then we select the proposals that we think deserve funding, that has the right risk profile, and that has the right impact, et cetera.
And
it's a very long, drawn-out proposal. The process is really detailed. It takes about, from the workshop to the actual funding, takes about 6 months, which by federal government standards is really short.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that you wanted the process, there it is.
Yeah, and you said risk is an assessment in here. What's the real potential of this actually working out to be something that could be the next big thing?
It is high risk and high impact. So we ask the question, if it is successful, would it make a huge impact on the market, on the technology, on the whole field of a particular, let's say, grid-level storage? Will it succeed? We just don't want high risk and then low impact. Obviously, no one wants that.
Right.
And if it's low risk, frankly, that's not our job. Someone else, the private sector, should take it up if it's low risk.
Yeah.
So that's the question we ask. That's the gap that we have in the United States today, is no one's really looking at the high risk, high impact ideas.
One of the real interesting parts of this is, and you actually lay out where these monies are going. 18 states, 36% of the projects led by universities, 33% by small businesses, 24% by large businesses, 5% by national laboratories, the national labs across the country, and 2% by nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
Is that about, I mean, do you go into it with sort of a mix in mind? Or it just turns out the way that it does? And is that about are you happy with the mix where it is?
I'm relatively happy. I mean, I would like to see more of small business in universities, frankly. But, you know, we don't go predetermined. We say we will fund the best ideas regardless of where they come from. Because it's all about the ideas. This is not a welfare system that we distribute the money all over in equal amounts. We want to fund the best ideas. And if it so happens to be in large business or small business university, that's fine. Ideally, what we like to see are teams which cross the boundaries between academia, national labs, small and big industries. And we have seen many of them, and we are actually investing in them. But the criteria is the quality of the idea, high risk, high impact, and how they plan to execute.
We spoke to you just after you took this job, and we asked you this question. I want to ask you again because you've been here a little longer now. How's government going? You come from the national labs. You're a researcher. You come from the private sector. How's it been in this space?
It's been fantastic. I mean, it's been a lot of fun, actually, because we're putting a new agency together. There's a culture that we are instilling. The kind of people that we're recruiting are some of the best from the technical community. There are people out here who have left their permanent jobs in very well-run companies like Intel. I have a guy out here who's resigned from Intel and came here. There are people who are from other private sectors are coming. Some of the best people from the best universities. MIT professor, full professor. He has his research still going on. He's decided to make a sacrifice, take a few years off, come here and serve. That's the kind of people we're getting, and so it's been a lot of fun, you know, putting this team together out here. And I call them my RPE band of brothers and sisters.
are you finding that they're coming? I mean, they're not coming for the big bucks, of course. Are they coming because of that, because of the mission?
Absolutely. No one comes to the government to make money.
Yeah.
I think we all know that. I mean, I took a 40% pay cut to come here, and my family is still in California. And, resigned from a tenured faculty position with an endowed chair. So we're not coming here to make money and make fame or anything. This is service, serving the nation. Because, you know, unless we do it with urgency and get our act together in technology innovation and really out-innovate the rest of the world, and keep these innovations out here to keep manufacturing and jobs out here, someone has to step up and do it. And I, you know, that's what I tell the people I'm trying to recruit. And guess what? The people show up. And in fact, we are being very selective of who we recruit because a lot of people want to come here.
It's nice to be in that position. Whether you're in government or industry, it's nice to be in that position.
Right.
We will have a full list and post the full list of all the projects that are out there. But was there one that, and we talked about the one right at the top, the grids. Was there another one that just really kind of blew your socks off?
Well, there's several. Now, you're telling me if I have 10 kids, choose your most favorite kid? That's hard, right? Well, I mean, these are, again, we don't know whether these are going to work or not. There's one I found that, which is the next generation transformer. This is an electronic transformer for your substation. Most people don't even worry about what a transformer looks like or anything, right? These things are generally...
No, in fact, most of us don't want to know what a transformer looks like.
But, you know, this is really important because if nowadays we import most of our transformers from China.
Hmm.
And we don't have the infrastructure out here. So we decided to invest in the next generation transformer, which is purely electronic. It's made out of semiconductors, not, you know, big magnets and things like that. So this is using a technology that can take a, you know, 8,000 pound, you know, device, which sits in a, you need a crane to install it, to something that you can put in a suitcase, which is only about 100 pounds or so, and if it is successful. So that is, I mean, really exciting. There are things in grid-level storage, new kinds of flywheel. That could be quite a new kind of flow batteries, as I mentioned. New cooling devices, which are absolutely amazing. You know, this cooling, the air conditioning program that we created is called Beat It, which is building energy efficiency through innovative thermo devices. So the acronym is Beat It. And we actually put a target and told people, try to beat it. And people have come up with innovations which are absolutely mind-blowing, where they have come up with new, you know, technologies that they use for cleaning water, like reverse osmosis, now being used for air conditioning, which who would have thought that that one could do that? I never thought, and this is my own field, my own research, you know, expertise.
Wow.
And that's the kind of thing that we are seeing.